This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Good Saturday morning, golf fans. Ready to roll. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. Great to have you aboard as we dive into what's happening in the world of golf. Couple pro tournaments going on, you know, here during the football season. You've got the Open de France, which is live on Golf Channel right now at Saint-Nom, just outside of Paris. Marcus Armitage in the lead at 12 under. A couple familiar names. They're creeping up on the leader. Minwoo Lee is in solo second at 11 under. American Michael Kim and Guido Migliozzi are in a tie for third at 9 under. Brooks Koepka is in a three-way tie at 8 under. So we'll get to the coverage from France. You also have the Walmart NW Arkansas Championship. Stacey Lewis announcing her retirement. We'll get to that. American Sarah Schmelzel is in a share of the lead there in Arkansas. Charlie, great to be with you this morning. You've just returned from two of the game's cathedrals.
Yes, sir. We went up there for a little visit to Michigan, pure Michigan. And we went to Oakland Hills. Incredible piece of real estate. They had a tragedy 4 years ago. Their clubhouse burnt down. And it's only 100,000 square feet.
And how old was that clubhouse?
Oh,
one of the oldest in the country.
Right.
I mean, it was still the original build.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're right ready. Their construction is done, and they're going to move in this February. It's quite an accomplishment.
Well, you left Tuesday. You go up there every year, Charlie,
yes,
to Oakland Hills and Inverness.
Yes.
You play golf, and there is a little reception for you from the professionals up there. Is that right?
Well, we have some good friends up there, yeah. And over the years, you know, that's when I returned from Argentina. My dad was transferred down to Toledo, Ohio, where the Jeep factory is. And so I started my American stay back in Toledo in 1963. And I learned a lot. It was great. The pro at Inverness, Herman Lang, was just such a gentleman, and he treated me so nicely, and the members at Inverness. So I got great memories, and my best friend in Toledo's name is Chuck Duck.
Chuck Duck.
Chuck Duck. Chuck Duck was just a great friend. His father worked at the Jeep factory along with my dad, and so Chuck was a welcoming committee, and he taught me a lot of good stuff, but we had some fun. We had some fun with Chuck.
He's still here? Did you?
No. He passed away, unfortunately, but he was a good guy. He loved golf, but he wasn't very good, but he was a good social chairman.
Knew how to host.
Yes.
Was he a military man?
No, he was just a local kid from Toledo, Ohio.
Unbelievable. I mean, Oakland Hills and Inverness.
Oakland Hills, and there wasn't a blade of grass out of place. And, you know, they still have a full tee sheet, and they took us, Steve Brady, the golf professional there, my friend, he took us for a tour through all of the mechanics of what it takes to have machinery ready every day at a country club when you want pristine conditions. And they have a special room where they sharpen the blades of all of the machines that cut the greens. And they have to be, I mean, it's run by computer, and they have to be the same so that speed's going to be the same, you know. So they've done everything to the nth degree as far as course maintenance. And, you know, it takes them 50 to 60 guys to work there, yeah, to maintain that 36-hole complex. And it's just magnificent.
You don't see any other agronomy teams, I mean, taking that additional step to make sure everything's perfect. I mean, sharpening their tools.
Augusta.
Yeah.
You know, the blades are, you know, that's the most important part of the machinery. I mean, the motor makes them go, but the blades have to be taken care of completely, because sometimes there's a little sand on the greens, and the sand will dull that blade real quick. So you got to be very careful if you want perfection.
The thing that I was most surprised about in my visit to the Masters in 2017, not only was a blade of grass not out of place, all the pine straw was cut to the exact same length. You know, all the pine straw was the same length. I've never seen anything like that. Charlie, let's play a little game of were you there as far as Oakland Hills and Inverness is concerned.
Yes.
Because you look at the resume of the championships these two courses have hosted. Unbelievable.
Yes.
Between U.S. Opens and PGA Championship, Solheim Cups.
Ryder Cup.
1951 U.S. Open. Your friend Ben Hogan. You're coming out with a book, Charlie.
Yes.
You knew Hogan.
Yes.
You had a picture right next to him.
Yes.
It's one of the best pictures I've ever seen. Do you recall the 51 U.S. Open when he won?
I wasn't living in Michigan. I was a young man. I was born in 44. So I don't. Was that Marion?
That was Oakland Hills.
Oakland Hills. Okay.
1951.
Yeah, I was in Michigan, but I wasn't into golf at that time.
Yes. That was Hogan's third U.S. Open. Fast forward to 57.
Yes.
U.S. Open goes back to Ohio. This time Inverness.
Yes.
Dick Mayer.
Dick Mayer. Yes.
Outlast Kerry Middlecoff.
Right.
18 hole playoff.
Yes.
Pretty good U.S. Open there, huh?
Pretty good U.S. Open, yes, sir. The original golf course at Inverness, it was a Donald Ross golf course. It was a great, great piece of property. That's one thing about Ohio golf courses. They're so good because the Ohio terrain has enough relief in it. There's creeks and there's beautiful trees and there's some elevation changes. But you don't need a bulldozer to make a golf course in Ohio.
And the bent grass there is just, it's
bent
the best in the world.
Is really, yeah, perfect temperature.
Now you said between 57 and now, are we looking at a different golf course in Inverness? Has there been changes?
Yes,
made
there's
since
been
then?
A lot of changes because the one thing in the original Inverness was self-contained, and it was, you know, you walked from one green to the tee, and the tee was just, you know, 10 yards off the green.
And, I love
and
that.
So there wasn't enough room for galleries, so they had to make it. They had terrain, so they asked Tom Fazio to come in and redo it. And sure, you can't, you know, you couldn't keep it the same, but it was a great golf course for the ladies in the Solheim Cup. That was a very successful event in Toledo, and then it was been, you know, very, very, very successful U.S. Opens and PGAs. I played in the PGA there in 86 when Bob Tway won, made it out of the bunker. Paul Azinger. Also, he won there in 93.
Yeah.
It was Nicklaus's first course at a U.S. Open. He missed a cut like in 57. So great, great, great traditional golf course and a membership that just loves to being host to major championships. They understand, you know, a good golf course such as Inverness is it has to have competition. And to watch the high school kids there, the NCAA championship, Texas A&M won there. They've had the Solheim Cup and then the championships, the old Inverness Cup, where they had all of the old time guys come in and play an exhibition. It's just rich in tradition. It's just a lovely, lovely club and a lovely golf course.
Yeah, I was amazed when I went back and looked at the history, as you said. Fazio came in 77,
right,
to Inverness, and in preparation for the 79 U.S. Open.
Right, won by Hal Irwin.
There you go. Hit Hale's second U.S. Open. Were you there for that?
No, I missed qualifying by one shot.
Oh.
I was a pro at Houston Country Club.
Wow.
At the time. Yeah, they had,
so you went up there. What was the qualifier up there or down here in Houston?
No, down here.
Okay.
He was out at Champions.
Man.
But
any regrets from that round, or did you play a pretty clean?
No,
I played hard.
You know, sure, I made some hiccups, but I qualified for two U.S. Opens.
Charlie, how about the way you know, Inverness was just not too kind to one Greg Norman. I mean, 86 at Inverness, the PGA, as aforementioned, Tway stuns Norman with that unforgettable bunker shot. 93, Azinger beats Norman in a playoff for his only major. And Inverness was not too kind to Greg, Charlie.
No, and Greg played it well. I mean, 86, Greg Norman, he was the leader of all four majors and didn't win a one.
God.
Didn't win one. So he had some trouble of his own coming in, and it wasn't the shot that, although Tway, you know, hold his bunker shot on eight on the 72nd hole, Azinger, you know, caught him in a surprise. He was, I think, Norman had like a 3-shot lead with three holes to go, and Zinger put it to him. So, Norman, you don't have to have any sympathy for Norman because some of the times, you know, he was really aggressive. His game was the driver, so he would never not hit a driver. And stories are told between on the greens, you know.
Last question for you as far as Oakland Hills and Inverness. I was reading about the 96 U.S. Open at Oakland Hills.
Yes.
How about Steve Jones? I mean, has this devastating dirt bike accident.
Yes.
And then comes back. I mean, it's a Hogan-esque comeback.
Yes.
Gets through sectional qualifying to go to Oakland Hills and wins. Did you get a chance to meet Steve Jones at all?
Yeah, Jones was a nice kid. He was good. He was he reminded me right now of Scotty Scheffler. He was about that size.
Wow.
6'3", big guy, big hands, and he could hit the golf ball and. He put it to him. He beat Davis Love
in 96.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just a remarkable story. I mean, I would have to go back. You do not hear many sectional qualifiers winning the U.S. Open. I hope I'm not missing anybody. Did Chad Campbell get through sectionals? I'll look at that over break. I'll look at that over break, Charlie. In the next segment, we'll get to the Ryder Cup at Bethpage. We'll dig deeper into some matchups, some strategy. We'll get to some questions for Charlie. We also have to go over the fact that the PGA Tour is being forced to move its 2026 season opener away from Kapalua, Maui County, in the middle of a massive drought affecting more than 140,000 residents. There's no water for golf, Charlie. We'll get to that on the other side. But first, we've got some business owners who feel like the walls are closing in, Charlie, that the obstacles to growing their business are a bit overwhelming, especially here in 2025. Harder to start a business than ever. They need some help as far as their HR and payroll are concerned, and you have the answer.
They have the answer, and they just signed for another ambassador. You know, they signed Arnold Palmer, which really put them on the map.
That was their first ambassador in the 80s.
Right.
You fast forward to 25, and who have they signed, Charlie?
A guy named Tiger Woods. You know, and they have a lot in common because, you know, Tiger's got quite a few businesses going on.
Yeah.
And so they're going to help him with his businesses and also get his expertise in golf and keep him involved. And Tiger is very happy to be involved with Paul Sarvadi, who is the owner and chairman of the company a $7 billion company. And they're magical with small business. And they want small businesses to succeed so
communities can prosper.
Great, great.
Excellent slogan.
Good philosophy.
Excellent slogan, Charlie. I mean, 30-plus years of experience. They're putting that to work, helping businesses with their human resources from HR training to admin and compliance. You add in competitive benefit options for your employees, and suddenly you've expanded your HR capabilities with Insperity. Once again, visit Insperity.com to upgrade your HR performance. Tell them Charlie and Will sent you. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Offers by Insperity. Back after this.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
The last Ryder Cup in New York was back in 1995 at Oak Hill in Rochester, where Team Europe edged the U.S. by a single point. Since then, we've seen some unforgettable championships in the Empire State. More specifically, Bethpage, 2022 U.S. Open. Tiger beat Phil Mickelson by 3. 2009 U.S. Open. Charlie, your guy Lucas Glover outlasted Phil Mickelson and David Duval and Ricky Barnes by 2 for his lone major. Couple editions of the Barclays there at Bethpage in 2012 and 2016. Patrick Reed won in 16. And, of course, Brooks Koepka wins over Dustin Johnson at the 2019 PGA, which was Koepka's third of 5 majors. 2019 PGA was at Bethpage. So, Charlie, with all that history, with the new era of louder and bolder crowds, players aren't afraid to speak out. How wild do you expect the New York fans to be next week at Bethpage Black?
That's a $64 question. I really personally believe that the New York golfer has much more respect for the game than the New York Yankee fans.
There you go.
And so if the golfers are a different breed, you know, they price the tickets pretty expensive. But for the most part, I think, you know, people, you know, you go to the Masters and they have it well controlled and they have enough force, police, you know, and guards to monitor, certain situations. And I don't think it's going to get out of hand. There'll be some yelling, sure, but it'll be muffled real quick.
They call Bethpage the People's Club, Charlie. Yes, we read about people arriving there at 3 a.m. to get to their tee times. As you just said, you don't see that in many other places of the country.
I mean,
and the community that's gathered in the parking lot, people are setting up tents, having beers. It's a special place.
It's a special place, and this is a special tournament. And sure, we want the home court advantage. I mean, the crowds at the Ryder Cups in England and in Scotland, their crowds are vocal at some point in time, but they're respectful of the game, and I think that's what's going to happen at the Ryder Cup. The people are going to watch great golf, and they're going to respect, and they're not going to disrupt the players' thinking or play just because they want to say be a smartass.
2022 U.S. Open at Bethpage, won by Tiger. You were there with Blaine McAllister, is that correct?
Yes.
What do you recall about that week?
I walked through the crowds, and they weren't that bad. I heard a few remarks I wish I hadn't heard, but some of them are funny. But
yeah,
but there's plenty of women around. But
a championship layout that you were very impressed with.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful golf course. It's a beautiful piece of land. You know, there's four golf courses right there in the park. I mean, it's a beautiful place for everybody in New York to enjoy. And I think they're going to want to have, more of these Ryder Cups back. So I think they're going to behave themselves.
Yeah, and I hope they stay in large cities, Charlie, where everyone can get out and see the tournament. I think that's a very special aspect of the Ryder Cup returning to New York. We got a little preview last week on both sides of the ponds here in the U.S., Scottie Scheffler captured his 19th career PGA Tour title at the Pro Corps. Charlie, it's his second straight season with 6 wins, and he drew a massive Sunday audience, 440,000 tuned in on Sunday, which, you know, to football, college football fans, that is not a big number, but it is the fall PGA Tour season, you know, and viewership in golf, it's, you know, when you look back at last year's Pro Corps, Scottie Scheffler this year, he brought in 500,000 viewers. Last year, Patton Kizzire's win brought in 104,000 viewers.
Yep.
As we heard from Jim Nance a couple weeks ago, live on this show, the viewership in golf, as far as watching professional golf, it's back in 2025.
Yeah, I'd like to know how many recordings of that event and watch later.
Yeah. Well, so what the PGA Tour does, Charlie, is they have a YouTube channel where they condense the final round
right,
without commercials, without having to watch a player, you know, go through their 2-minute pre-shot routine, a la Patrick Cantlay. I could do a search right now, if you give me a couple minutes, to see how many views that the final round highlights has on YouTube. So I'll check on that. Across the Atlantic, Alex Noren.
Alex Noren, interesting player there.
How about his golf swing?
His golf swing.
You ever seen anyone exit left as hard as Alex Noren?
No. He's got a couple different things he works on, and he hits down on the ball. He doesn't make divots. He makes canyons. He's a digger of all sorts, and he's talented, but he's really never won anything.
Yeah, no, he has not won a PGA Tour event. He's been over here for the better part of 12 years now. The win that Noren had at the BMW PGA last week was his second European win in his last three starts, but he was out with injury most of the year, so he did not make the European Ryder Cup team. He is going as a co-captain. But those were two powerhouse performances on both sides of the pond. Starting with the Pro Corps and just going down the results of those who are on the Ryder Cup team, Scottie Scheffler won at 19 under. Ben Griffin, he's on the Ryder Cup team.
He showed his moxie.
Yeah, 18 under, had a chance to win the tournament on 18. J.J. Spahn, he keeps it rolling.
J.J. is having a heck of a career. I'm really happy for him. I don't know that much about the young man, but he has proven that he can golf his golf ball and make some putts at the right time. So my hat's off to him.
Yeah, him and Cameron Young had a couple top 10 finishes last week. Sam Burns tied for 13th at the Pro Corps.
I like Sam.
Yeah, putting amazing. One of the best putters in the world, Charlie. Yeah. What can the viewer take away from his putting, and what makes him one of the best?
To me, he looks really natural. I mean, he doesn't do anything specific that you can, you know, but it looks very simple, and I call him, you got to want to make that putt. And he wants to make every putt he hits. And he looks relaxed and once again, but he hadn't won anything yet. So we got to get him in the winner's circle. So hopefully during the Ryder Cup, he'll be able to be a good putter for his partner.
He's good friends with Sam Burns, but Russell Henley had a lot of success with Scottie Scheffler. I'm saying Burns and Scheffler, very good friends. They played a little bit together in 2023, but then we saw at the 25 President's Cup last year that, you know, Scheffler and Henley made a really good pairing. So Keegan Bradley, his work cut out as far as these pairings, Charlie. I mean, what goes into that?
You know, just hours and hours of studying, and Paul Azinger, when he was captain, he created a new way to approach pairing people together, personalities, and so on and so forth. So they've done a lot of study, maybe too much, but they're much more prepared. You just don't put friends together because they're friends. You put you know, one can accent the other's golf swing. If guy's a good driver, the other guy's a good iron player. Try to match that up.
And that can be tough to juggle, Charlie, with a little bit more of the individual approach of the Americans compared to Europe. Now, it seems like the European team, they're all together as one. Whereas there's a lot to be said about our guys. You got Morikawa off in an island.
Yeah,
you know,
Morikawa, he's hurting because he's not winning, and so his personality is not what it should be. But you know, our guys are still nice to each other, and they're friends, and they're big. They're not bigger than the game, and so I think we're going to win pretty easily.
Go USA, go America. But as far as Team Europe and how they did at Wentworth last week, we told you Noren was the winner. That, you know, the rest of their team played beautifully at Wentworth there as well. Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton, and Matt Fitzpatrick all tied for fifth. John Rahm finished 13th, and Rory McIlroy and Ludvig Åberg both finished in the top 20. So we're in for a movie next week. I mean, it's a demanding Tillinghast masterpiece. Charlie, brutal rough, long par fours, New York's fiery crowds. How does a course as punishing as Bethpage intensify the mental side of Sunday singles and really just the whole competition as a whole.
Well, that's the Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
that's the Ryder Cup, and all the players. That's probably one thing. If they're not playing in it, they watch it, and they see the different approach to the game of golf, and they want to be part of it, and so they work hard to get the attention of the captain, but. It's a unique sporting event, and it's got them, captured the imagination of the American golf public.
Last question for you before we go to break. In December of 2024, PGA of America announced they would start paying U.S. Ryder Cup players. This year, each American player is going to receive $500,000. $300,000 of it will go to charity, and $200,000. Will be kept for themselves, or they could donate that as well. Tom Watson spoke to golf.com this week, the great Tom Watson. He said that they were given some money for charity back in the day, but these guys should just predominantly be playing for their country and their teammates. Your thoughts on that, Charlie?
I agree. I think the stipend is okay. Is it $500,000? I'm not sure. And the players, share that with their charity, so it does a lot of good there. I know in the President's Cup, Angel Cabrera, he received his stipend from the President's Cup, and he built a nice clinic for his people in Argentina that couldn't afford to go to the hospital because they didn't have a car.
Yeah.
And so these golf tournaments, the Ryder Cup, the President's Cup, do a lot of good for the community.
Yeah, even week-to-week PGA Tour events, Charlie. Yeah. Just amazing. There's no other sport that's doing more for communities than golf. Not even close. Not even close from a charitable aspect. We got to take a quick break. Before that, we hear from our friends at the Texas Golf Hall of Fame.
Mike Booker, chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, and many others, lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Now you can experience the history of Texas golf digitally at texasgolfhof.org and share with your family and friends. See you on the course.
This is ESPN 97.5.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
All right, great batch of listener emails coming in this week for Charlie. Let's dive in. First up, Cal writes, Charlie, I'm really looking forward to your book, The Journeyman. As you reflect on your long career while writing it, what lessons or truth about golf or life were... What truths about golf or life surprised you as you look back on your journey?
Well, the hard thing that people have to do is they can't have fun. They all get mad at every bad shot. And when you're a golfer, you're going to hit more bad shots than good shots. So you've got to have a mindset that handles disappointment, and that golf is a challenging game. And especially if you learn it not the right way at first, then you got to learn the fundamentals of the game. And most people haven't taken enough lessons from golf professionals. And today, the PGA of America, we've got 39,000 members all over the country teaching the game, men and women, for the juniors. One reason why golf has gotten so popular is that the PGA of America, our programs are promoting the game of golf.
Yeah.
Through instruction.
SCPGA.
And the junior, the AJGA and so on and so forth.
Junior Reach with STPGA.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so there's a lot of ways to... to get instruction. So call your local PGA pro. The Southern Texas PGA can lead you. You can go to their website and get instruction, because golf is a type of game that you got to learn the fundamentals of the game to be able to grow your game.
So when you were going back with Mark Button, who's writing your book, was there a lesson that you look back on that changed your life? Or a truth, something you found out that just combed your professionalism?
See, I was a head pro at Houston Country Club, a great club, and it was wonderful. But I part of my responsibilities were teaching, and I wanted to expand my horizon. So I went to work for Golf Digest and worked with the top teachers. And the top teachers of the PGA, like Jim Flick, like Bob Toski, Dick Harmon, they study the game. And so they helped me understand a lot of things about the game that I did not know.
So that was a big leap.
That was a big leap from Houston
Country Club, where you were for 20 years. Membership loves you. Membership worships you. But you understood that there was a next step for teaching.
Sure, you know, and I ended up having a student named Angel Cabrera that won the Masters and the U.S. Open. My daughter Mimi won the city championship here in Houston and won the state amateur. You know, and now my other daughter Nona, she's a member at a club that she's won the club championship six times, and now her generation, her children are all golfers, and the oldest one is at TCU playing collegiate golf on a nice scholarship. So the game of golf in so many ways has helped our family grow and have fun.
Great work there, Charlie.
Her wedding was behind the 18th green at Pebble Beach.
Unbelievable. And you said Charlie Wiley, he's playing on TCU's golf team, and Ben's on the way.
Ben is on the way. He's playing at Memorial High School.
Well done. That's not an easy tryout.
No.
With 50 to 75 kids there looking to make a 10-man team.
That's right. And then he gets mononucleosis and gets sick.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I had that. That's...
So, but he's coming back. He's making a comeback.
All right. Hector wants to know, we're seeing younger champions with incredible power and athleticism. Sounds like Charlie Wiley. What's your take on distance debate?
Well, I was, you know, my idol was Jack Nicklaus, and his philosophy was hit it as hard as you can and go find it first. Learn how to swing at the golf club and have speed. Don't ginger it. And so practice distance. You know, you got to make a healthy swing.
Yeah.
You got to, it's, you know, today we know that 100-mile-an-hour club head speed's not fast enough.
Yeah.
And you got techniques that you can work out in the gym and get better fit, and the hands, wrists, and arms will function better and create that speed so you can, you know, really hit good golf shots.
Do you subscribe that equipment or courses need to be adjusted with the change of distance?
Well, everything, you know, grows with success, and the engineers that make golf clubs and golf balls have found, you know, ways to make better equipment and better golf balls. So they've got to modify them a little. It's just like all of the cars that race at Indianapolis 500. All have the same pretty much restrictions. They can't have one car going, you know, 50 miles an hour faster than the other. So they control it with carburetors and so on and so forth. Here at the golf business, you know, the golf ball is the determining factor how far it can go, and they can, you know, make them slow them down, and that's just for the good people, you know, the beginners and all that. They need all the distance they can. So, but they got to hit the ball solid to create that 100-yard you know, increments in distance control. So, it's a fight. You know,
there's still a lot of pieces beyond just driving it far off the tee, Charlie. A stat just came in yesterday talking about how Scottie Scheffler's average proximity from 50 to 100 yards this year was 13 and a half feet.
Yes.
That is, I mean, that's the money maker, isn't it,
well,
Charlie?
That's the golf ball. The golf ball is so trusting, he can hit it within plus or minus a yard. That is a big deal. And then the golf equipment, it has certain modifications that you can make the lie flatter or more upright. And everybody has a computer telling them, giving them more facts about what their golf club is doing. So it's a technical game at a professional level.
Oh, no doubt, Charlie. Here is Spence. Charlie, over your years as a coach, what is the single most important fundamental you believe every golfer, beginner or tour professional, must first master?
Well, playing golf, there's three things: a golf ball, a golf club, and a golf swing. The club does not swing itself. The golfer has to put his hands or her hands on the club efficiently to make the club go where it should go in the plane of the swing. And so it's understanding, you know, that the golf swing is a circular motion. It's a swinging, you know, motion. It's a ballet, if you will. If you see the ladies that don't have this brute strength that Scottie Scheffler has, and they can still hit it 280, 290 because they're very efficient. But the most important thing is the grip. How you place your hands on the grip every time. Scottie Scheffler shows us that. Nicklaus showed us that. So it's a grip test. Jimmy Burke, my good friend from Champions, always said, Charlie, the golf game is a grip test. How well you can put your hands on the putter, on the sand shot, you know, and you got five or six basic positions that you've got to master to be able to hit different shots.
And they make these clubs, Charlie, that set your grip. We see Scheffler pull it out before every round. Every amateur should have one of those, shouldn't they?
Two of them.
Yeah,
I sell them.
Charlie, great listener questions today. Thanks for taking the time to share those insights. We'll take a quick break on the other side. We'll talk about where is the season opener going to go. It's not going to be Kapalua. There's no water for Kapalua. We take a quick break first. A 60-second spot from our friends at the Texas Golf Hall of Fame.
Mike Booker, chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, Babe Zaharias, Tom Kite, and many more lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Learn about the historic golf courses and the individuals that promoted the game through leadership, teaching, and passion. Texas and golf go hand in hand in the history of the game and camaraderie. Together, we can honor the past, celebrate the present, and inspire future generations of Texas golfers. Golf is a sport for everyone, and I encourage you to experience the history of Texas golf digitally at texasgolfhof.org and share with your golf family and friends. That's TexasGolfHOF.org. See you on the course.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
What a movie unfolding at St. Nom in France right now. Open to France is live on Golf Channel right now, where Minwoo Lee won the Houston Open here at Memorial Park. In the 2025 PGA Tour season, he's got a one-shot lead standing on hole 14 there in the third round. And you got a couple other Americans in the top five. Brooks Koepka is at 10 under, and Michael Kim is at 9 under. You mentioned a great point, Charlie. I asked you why Koepka is playing. He's not going to be at the Ryder Cup where he won the U.S. Open in 2019.
That's right. So he's feeling the sting of not having a PGA membership, you know, because he gave that up when he signed with LIV. And so the only place he could play is on the European Tour.
Where he's had a lot of success.
Yeah.
And you think he's pissed off and ready to roll?
Oh, as much as he loves the game, and he, how many majors did he win?
Five,
real quick.
Yeah,
and now he can't even get in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but the PGA can.
Yeah, keep an eye on it over the next 24 hours. This morning coverage, Golf Channel, the French Open. I mean, it's class. It's not at Le National this year, where they held the Olympics. Le National is getting redone, restored. It's had a great golf course in Saint-Nom, only about 6,800 yards off the tee. They've got these Christmas trees that line up the fairways. You know, uh-huh. There's no OB or water.
Yeah.
But the branches on these trees, they go all the way down. Uh-huh. So if you hit around them, you cannot even get a club on it. It's been great coverage. Charlie, you love Hawaii. PGA Tour has been forced to move its 2026 season opener away from Kapalua. Maui County is in the grip of a massive drought affecting more than 140,000 residents. And this has to do with the water delivery system that West Maui depends on that has been really poorly maintained. It's the Hanakua Stream Ditch, which carries water to the service area from the service area to the plantation course. And that stream ditch has fallen into disrepair. The plantation course, Charlie, has not been watered since July 25th.
You know, it's incredible that they let that happen. I don't understand that the resource is, you know, here you're in the middle of the ocean, but all of that water is salt water, and the grass can't be watered with salt water because it'll burn it. And so I can't believe that they let this happen.
You've been there a number of times.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Kapalua.
Yeah, and see all the whales, and their playground is the ocean, and they're right there. But now this is a big concern.
It's a catastrophe, Charlie. Yeah. Farms are suffering.
Well, remember the last couple of years ago, the whole city burnt down.
Yeah.
They didn't have water.
Yeah.
They had that horrible, what do you want to call it?
Everything
fire.
Burned. Yeah, everything burned except Oprah's house.
Is that right?
That's right. Very strange. No, 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 no. Farms are suffering. Residents don't have running water. And plantation course is in deep trouble.
Yeah.
The tour is exploring other options for its 2026 opener, possibly elsewhere in Hawaii, maybe California, maybe Florida. But the Sony Open in Honolulu will still be played week two. So Hawaii golf is not going away. It's just I've read a lot about this. It doesn't seem like an end is in sight. I saw pictures of the plantation course. It is brown, Charlie.
Brown.
And they did a video, and the head of agronomy is pulling dead grass out of the greens. There's still play on it because they have to, you know, it's a big selling point for the community.
Well, that'll hurt the locals and their way to make a living.
Yeah, no doubt, Charlie. Very sad, very sad. Yeah, a couple tournaments to keep an eye on today. Obviously, the third round of the Open de France is wrapping up. Minwoo Lee, he's got a lead there. Very entertaining golf. Later on today, you'll have the Walmart NW Arkansas Championship going on the LPGA Tour. That'll be on Golf Channel. You do have an American, Sarah Schmelzel, out front at 8-under. Leona McGuire at 7-under. Great leaderboard there. Charlie, what else do you have here for us? What other updates can you give us as far as the Journeyman book? When do you forecast that's going to be released?
Well, that's a good question. I got a couple meetings with the publisher the next couple weeks, and I'll know more information. But it looks like we want to try to have it done by out by February of next year.
Okay.
If we can get it before Christmas, we'll let everybody know, and they can put it on their, you know, put it in their Christmas stocking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we have a national audience here, Charlie. What is the process of getting it in the pro shops? Obviously, you have a large Rolodex that spans across this country.
Yeah, we're going to publicize it through the PGA of America and let all my fellow golf professionals know about it. And so it'll be a marketing program.
Yeah.
I've never done this before, but I'm having fun with it.
Well, it was due time.
Yeah.
What's been the most interesting part about this process, if you had
looking
back been easy for you?
Yes. It's been incredible. I mean, I look at it now. I look at the whole book. We've got it in raw form, and I say, I did that. Yeah. I was able to do this, you know. And it's from Michigan to Argentina to California to Texas. You know, I've been able to experience so much because of my dad's work. He would work for a company that moved him around the country and around the world. But for me, the love of golf has just been magical of experiences and friends that I've made over the time.
You are revered in Argentina. Will you have a Spanish version of this book?
Well, we haven't investigated that yet, but I've got a couple friends. I'm going down to Argentina in October to see my friends and celebrate life, and we'll look into that.
So when you're down there, good golf, good food.
Yes, good wine.
Reminiscing.
Yes.
Is this the location you're visiting? Is that where the Kaiser factory was when your dad
exactly
transferred
right.
there?
Yes, my wife and I we're flying into Buenos Aires. We're going to spend 4 days in the city. We're going to go to the opera.
Wow,
they got a great opera house there. Judy wants to do that. We're going to celebrate our 53rd wedding anniversary.
53
years.
Charlie. Congratulations,
yes,
Charlie and Judy.
Thank you very much.
Incredible. Incredible. Charlie and Judy. This is why I love doing the show with you, Charlie.
That's
you
it.
You don't meet any people these days that have been married for 53 years.
53 years. So we've got a lot of things looking forward to it.
So you grew up there.
Yes.
So for an average listener who has not been down there, how much would you recommend it in the current situation of Argentina?
You know, Argentina is a rich country in many different ways. It's geographically, it stretches, you know, almost 4,000 miles from north to south. The Andes go down the west side of the country. They have great skiing. They have vineyards. It's just hunting and fishing.
Yeah, bird hunting? I'm not a hunter, but that's big down there, isn't
big,
it?
Big, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, big killing.
How's the quality of steak right now, Charlie?
The quality of the meat is it's a meat eating country, and they like their barbecues. They call them asados, and so it's worth a visit. South America is a lovely continent, and it has so many riches that people should enjoy.
We'll talk to you a couple more times before then. We'll see you next Saturday here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Thank you. Ryan Morrow behind the ones and twos. Great job. Hello, John Bellmer. Legend.
Is he here? What are you hiding back there? Or are you just sleeping?
Everyone enjoy the Open to France. Fantastic coverage. Min Woo, Brooks Koepka, my guy Guido Migliozzi. 100-1 ticket on Guido from Tuesday, Charlie. So I'll be sweating that out tomorrow. You've got some LPGA coverage in Arkansas. Other than that, everyone enjoy the football weekend.
ESPN 97.5.